Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good evening, folks. Yeah, we, as you can see, we're in the car. We've got a bit of a spotlight on us. It's not supposed to be a foreboding horror film. Although we actually did just, what an amazing link. We actually just watched a horror film on the pitch, didn't we?
Yeah, horror show.
So that's Joe Donahue and I, Baron Cross, of course, Leeds live in the car after Leeds United's 3-0 defeat to Everton at Goodison Park. Lovely stadium, lots of character, but sadly lacking on the pitch today. I mean, I'm amazed if any of you even want to watch this, because there are very, very few redeeming features about today. From minute one, Everton entirely outplayed Leeds, and at no point did it feel like it was going to turn in Leeds' favour. Everton, if anything, maybe should have won by more. I mean, and it's hard to know where to start, really, Joe, isn't it? It was just felt like one-way traffic the whole way, wasn't it?
It was from minute one. I mean, the best place to start is probably minute eight, minute nine.
Yeah,
Stuart Dallas goes off, injured. He pulled up sort of a minute earlier. You spotted that, didn't you?
Yeah, he was in true Dallas fashion. He was trying his best to play through it, but clearly it was too much.
It was too much for him. And Leo Yelder came on in his place, and we'd noticed a few minutes earlier that Everton had gone 4-4-2, so that meant that Robin Koch had dropped into a back three. He'd sort of separated Strike and Llorente, so there was a bit of a gap in front of the defence, and Dallas pulled up, and it was kind of in a collision, wasn't it, with Iwobi. And it's not all bad news. I mean, you know, Marcelo Bielsa couldn't provide a sort of a report or a diagnostic on Dallas, but at full time he was walking unaided on the pitch. So it's not like he was on crutches or, you know, having he had like ice on it or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, it was from minute one. It was even before Dallas went off. The tone of the game was very much in Everton's favour, and Leeds never really put their stamp on it. They didn't really play in the way that we know Leeds can. And that was the disappointing element. There wasn't a point where I thought, actually, you know what, we might have something here.
No, there was, like you say, at least at Villa on Wednesday, Villa probably started the better side, but Leeds, of course, then got the goal, and that kind of set up what turned out to be a thrilling game. But there was none of that today, really. It just, I think for me, as much as Marcelo will refute it, and I think, you know, it's very, very hard to have a football discussion with Marcelo because of how much more experienced he is than the rest of us. But the back three system for me just doesn't work. I mean, that was up there with Brighton away and Southampton away, which are by far the two worst performances of Bielsa's tenure. Of course, Man City away. But I think the trouble with that is that the Man City game has got massively different circumstances because of who they're playing against and how threadbare Leeds were. But today against a team that were below them in the table, they turn up today and Everton looked every inch, you know, the mid-table side that their team on paper should be. You know, we're not... I'm not in the business of giving Frank Lampard too much credit. I mean, I think all they did was they moved to a 4-4-2 and it just threw Leeds. Yeah. I mean, it threw us. I mean, we were expecting a 3-4-3 of some description today, as has been the case for Lampard's coaching career generally. But he said injuries forced his hand a little bit, and I think he was well aware that he could pin Leeds back if he played with a 4-4-2 with the two men occupying a three-man back line. And as Joe says, we saw Robin Koch shuffle back into that back three quite early on. And the one thing Bielsa did admit post-match was that playing click where he did was his biggest error.
Yeah.
But with the players he had on the pitch, there was nobody else that could have played there. So I don't know. I mean, I suppose... You put Ayling in the back three, you push Koch forward, but then who are you going to play right wing back?
I mean, that would have required Rafinha to play right wing.
You're picking holes in it all over the shop. So
yeah, you're moving pieces all over the place to the detriment of the team. And I think that was the issue today. You know, Dallas went off and I mean, the team never really picked up. And there was no... I mean, Dallas maybe would have been a better fit than Click in that defensive midfield.
Maybe.
They didn't have that option, and unless you were willing to make a substitution, you know, Click for Forshaw after 10
Forshaw
minutes.
Forshaw was the one, wasn't it?
Then it was always going to be a difficult first half, and as a result, obviously Leeds couldn't really... Every time Leeds came forward, it seemed to be second to the ball and seemed to give up possession. And
they were second best at everything on the
pitch. And Everton just flew forward. You know, they had Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Anthony Gordon, who had a very good game, and Alex Iwobi. You know, they had that front
four. They were so comfortable, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And Leeds were just second best, I think, to put it brutally.
If it's any consolation, pretty much everybody of an Everton persuasion said that's probably the best they've played in as long as they can remember. You know, going back to last season, I mean, that's the sort of level they were playing at today. I know it's a little comfort, but at least it gives you some context into how good Everton were. It wasn't just the fact that Leeds were off it. Everton were considered to have played pretty well today. And when you see it in action, it seems so simple. Play with two strikers, press really high, create spaces. I mean, we've seen it with the Man United games. I mean, Man United have beaten Leeds convincingly away from home in the last two seasons. And it almost had that sort of quality to it. Everton didn't quite have the quality or the clinical nature of Man United in attack to put Leeds to the sword. But the openings were there. They had so much, every time Everton came forward, it felt like they had so much space to raid into. And every time Leeds went forward, it felt like it just fell apart too early. Yeah, and if it made it to the final third, it just got smothered by Holgate and Keane. I almost can't be bothered to talk about the goals. It's just such a it was just such a convincing win for Everton. Unfortunately, where we were sat, we were right behind the hospitality area at Goodison Park, so all the fans would sort of jump up in front of us when they scored. So I can't actually remember Seamus Coleman's goal. He sort of bundled it in, didn't he?
Yeah, so I mean, it comes from Donny van der Beek gets played into the box.
That was right, yeah, he got in behind, didn't he?
Yeah, he gets in behind, and once a player of his quality is in behind, and you've got DCL sort of, you know, trying his best to get on the end of something at the far post, you're on the back foot, essentially. Yeah. So van der Beek plays it across to Calvert-Lewin. He manages to flick it back across the face of goal. It's kind of going diagonally, and you know, it's just a matter of time before it goes in. And Seamus Coleman, obviously having the advantage of going towards it with his momentum, he diving headers it in, and that's 1-0. And after about 10 minutes, that was 10 minutes into the game, and you had to say that it was coming.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal was definitely coming, and the second goal was just that Leeds 1-1 really, conceding at corner, free header for Michael Keane. Tyrone Mings sent a few warning signs on Wednesday night, and Michael Keane buried one. I mean, that's just the way it's been since Bielsa's come in here with the set pieces, reverting to type. And I'm amazed if anything, the third goal took as long as it did to come, because Everton. You know, Everton are still a team low in the division and aren't the finished article by any stretch of the imagination, and did have their problems with kind of putting those chances away, and almost sort of, I suppose they couldn't almost believe how sort of dominant they were.
Yeah, there seemed to be a sense of relief, especially in the fans who were in front of us. It was you know, celebration, but also relief.
They were worried today coming in.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and they had right to be. They were on 19 points before today. They were, you know, teetering on the brink of a relegation battle, and now it seems as though if they can play like that every week, then they'll be well clear of trouble. On the flip side, if Leeds play like that in 3, 4, 5 games between now and the end of the season, that's going to cause problems, especially against teams that are around them in the league. Because as I've said multiple times on this Facebook Live, you know, what Leeds were good at last season, and to a similar extent this year, was beating the teams that were around them. Mm. Now we've seen Newcastle defeat at Elland Road, seen the Everton game here. You know, you need to at the very least match the teams that are occupying similar spaces to you in the table. And that's the worry that I'd take out of today, was that, you know, Everton were beaten by Newcastle convincingly in midweek. They were not good, and yet they came and they were on it from the first whistle, and Leeds just weren't. You know, you would have said based on the performance at Villa that Leeds would be the team on the front foot,
but absolutely
that wasn't the case, unfortunately, and it never sort of got out of that pattern. That was the way that the game sort of flowed, and it was very reminiscent of Southampton from earlier on this season, where it was just 90 minutes that wasn't going to go Leeds' way.
Yeah, they just never seemed to get going today, to be honest. Like, it just from minute one, it just wasn't working. You know, I think we also looked tired today. I think that did play a part, especially as the game bore on. Click was not helped by his position, but he also just looked miles off it. He looked dishevelled. He looked tired. Ayling is somebody I reflected upon and felt that normally, even when things are going badly, Ayling is the one that seems to just drag them through into something a bit better. But even he was just misplacing very, very basic passes. Excuse me. So moving forward in the side, yeah, we reflected upon the defensive issues they had. They couldn't beat the Everton press. But when they did get forward, just disjointed,
there was
wasn't
no
it?
There was nothing to link.
Harrison, Rodrigo. I mean, Rodrigo's redeeming feature today was he hit the bar twice. So that's the only reason why he did marginally better than anybody else. But again, when you're playing that 3-3-1-3 system, those players in the central channel, there is so much work for them to get through. I mean, even with Calvin, it's a tough formation to get right. Yeah. Even with Calvin, somebody of his ability, they just about get by. But when you've got Klitsch in there trying to do a defensive role, Bielsa admitted, it just doesn't suit him at all.
Yeah.
So you've got him in there, and then you've got Rodrigo in front of him. You're two of the most offensively minded central midfielders they've got in the squad. It just doesn't work at all. And Rafinha, again, was another talking point. I mentioned this in the post-match press conference. He's a victim of his own success. You know, he's set the bar so high. He's by far the player of the year this season. And when he has, you know, three halves of poor football in a row in the space of 3 or 4 days, it becomes a talking point. Any other player, it's kind of a throwaway comment. You know, you say they're poor and you move on. But when it's Rafinha, you kind of reflect on it and you look for reasons why. And Bielsa couldn't really provide any. But no real complaints between either of us that, that Rafinha was taken off at the break.
No, I mean, I was surprised because, you know, obviously he's an impactful
player.
He seems
he's untouchable, isn't he, normally?
But he didn't really do an awful lot in that first half. Now, part of that reason is because it was difficult to get the ball to him. But it was similar to the Villa game in that you just felt he was kind of maybe just lacking the ability to play at the peak of his powers.
Mm.
And while that's no major crisis, you know, players do dip in form. And, you know, to be honest, he's probably due a dip in form considering how
absolutely,
consistent he's been.
His bar is so high.
Over the past, you know, 15, 16 months. But it was a surprise, and then obviously the talking point is, you know, who comes on in his place, and I think a lot of fans would probably have gone with Joe Gelhardt to come on in his place, but instead Marcelo Bielsa goes with Tyler Roberts, moves Daniel James out to the right wing, and it didn't really change the pattern of the game.
Nothing changed in the second half.
I don't really know what he expected to change, to be honest. Maybe Roberts being a more physical presence, more of a focal point than James, but honestly, it was marginal. It was really marginal, and
they just couldn't get a foothold at all. They just couldn't get a foothold in the game. The only time they got close was possibly in the immediate preceding sort of phases before Michael Keane's goal at 1-0. That was the only point where you thought, okay, Rodrigo, Klitsch and Harrison are building a few patterns here. Rodrigo's threading a few passes into James. But as soon as Everton got the second, that was it. And as Joe says, in the second half, nothing really changed, really. Forshaw just looked overrun. He brought up touch more control and class on the ball, as you'd expect him to, but fighting an uphill battle. You're completely overrunning that in that central channel, couldn't really do much to stem the tide. And as Joe said, you know, Roberts isolated, you know, just couldn't do anything in the game to change the flow of the game. And what could he do? He was completely smothered by Holgate and Keane. It wasn't like there was a hatful of chances into the 6-yard box that he spurned. You know, he just wasn't a factor in the game at all. It was just one of those days, much like Brighton or Southampton away, where they just weren't at the races. And as painful as it is, you almost just have to move on because there's nothing to analyse, there's nothing to take from it.
Put it to one side.
They were just playing a different game today completely, that those two teams.
I think one of the things that I noticed in the first half was that the front four that Everton had, so you had Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin as your forwards, and then they had Anthony Gordon and Iwobi, not as out-and-out wingers, but they tucked in a little bit.
They were tucked in, yeah.
But then whenever the defenders for Everton had the ball, they would push up onto the Leeds fullbacks or the wingbacks, which meant that Leeds effectively were pinned and had five at the back.
Back five, yeah.
And as a result, that meant that there was a lot of space between the defence and those playing in
attack.
Alan
van der Beek ran the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
They ran the game completely.
And, you know, Alan's good on the ball. Van der Beek is very good at identifying space in between lines. And he didn't have to be today. There was a lot of room for him to pick up the ball. And it always, whenever Van der Beek was on the ball, it felt as though Klitsch was always at his heels. He was never the
he was
right
on him.
Side.
Yeah, he was always behind him.
And I think as a result, that meant that, you know, you had Rafinha and Harrison taking on a deeper starting position, and that meant James was isolated. Rodrigo was doing the job himself because Klitsch was always tracking back. He had nobody to link up with. So, you know, I don't want to be giving Frank Lampard too much credit because he said himself, you know, that the reason to play 4-4-2 was enforced by injuries.
Yeah.
And I think if he'd had the options, I think he would have gone with his preferred formation, which might have given us a different game. But I think the two systems won out in the end, and it wasn't Leeds.
In terms of moving forward, then we've now got a long week until Manchester United. Is that game on the Saturday or the Sunday? Feeling
it's the 20th, so that would be
the Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so Manchester United visit Elland Road. It's the match that to be honest, you've all been waiting for. I mean, you've been waiting 16 years to get out of the EFL. Last season, got promoted. Season before, sorry. Last season, first season back. No fans are allowed in. You miss both of the Man United games. This season, you get that first bite of the cherry at Old Trafford. Obviously, a select few of you were able to go to that game in pretty haunting circumstances, which I'm sure a lot of us have kind of wiped from our memory now. But this is the one. You know, Manchester United at Elland Road into the Bear Pit. This is where the atmosphere has been bubbling towards. And you, I mean, they're in pretty shambolic form as well. I know we're talking about, you know, different sections of the league table and vastly different wage budgets, but they are not in form and they can be got at. So it's a long week now. There's going to be a lot of wounds to be licked in the next few days. Of course, on our site, we'll try and reflect that in the pieces that we write and try and dig into what's happened today and look forward fairly quickly. So I think a lot of people want to move forward from now and hopefully getting some good injury news on Stuart Dallas and Leo Hielder was unable to finish the game. Of course, all three subs were made. So he went off. Yeah, we're talking stoppage time, really, with what looked like quite a sore knee. And then, of course, you know, Marcelo has reiterated many times now that Cooper and Phillips are going to be the early days of March. So based on his comments, I think it's a bit of a stretch to expect them. Bamford is a complete mystery. And I think Firpo sounds like he will be fit. He probably could have been pushed to today, but would have been a bit of a risk. But given Dallas's injury, I mean, it's classic Leeds, really. You know, Dallas is injured and right in time, we've got a left-sided player to come back in. So we'll have to see. We know Dallas is incredibly robust. He's one of those that many of his teammates and manager have said does play through injuries, and he did try today, but it was too much for him. But as Joe says, he was able to walk off at least. So he's not on a stretcher. He's not had to go to hospital or anything like that. It's nothing too drastic. But I mean, I've not looked at the league table, but you've just said before we came on air that it's not as bad as you might have thought from the loss.
No, it's not, because of other results today. You know, Watford losing and, you know, Brentford not pulling away. They only got a point today. So that kind of means that, and as well, as we're talking, I think Norwich are still losing to Manchester City. So it could have been a lot worse in terms of, you know, other teams picking up surprise results. You know, Everton are still below Leeds, albeit by a point, and do have a game in hand. Newcastle are still below Leeds, and then you've got Watford, Norwich and Burnley all down there as well, all on similar games played. So, you know, there are still points to be won. There's still something like
just
four.
Just tightens up a bit, doesn't it?
It does. And you
just
don't
keeps,
want it to be
just
tight.
Keeps Leeds in the argument where you know, if they beat Newcastle and they win today, then they're suddenly out of the argument, and we're looking at a mid-table push, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, yeah, it does keep things interesting from that perspective. But I mean, there's 23s on Monday. They're in the PL Cup against Mansfield. So there's actually something riding on that.
There's a distraction at least.
There's a distraction at least, yeah. And I think we'll need some after that performance today. I can't imagine there'll be too many Leeds highlights on Match of the Day. To be honest, if you're going to tune in and watch it, there's two really good strikes from Rodrigo which hit the bar and fine margins. If those had both gone in.
Changes the game, doesn't it?
It changes the game completely, but it would have been undeserved. You know, they didn't offer very much, but on a different day, they go in. But, apart from that, I just now I'm remembering that Jordan Pickford is the Everton goalkeeper. It's like, really did not test him anywhere nearly enough.
He had a very quiet game.
Yeah.
If we didn't see you before, then we'll see you next Sunday after the Man United game. I'm sure we will try and get on air before then, given it is quite a high-profile match, that one. So we'll try and reflect that in our Facebook Live coverage. But thanks for joining. I know it's not easy to take, but try and salvage what's left of your weekend. But thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Cheers.